Well, I think it's very fitting to talk about the sauna at Holden Village, because Holden Village is famous not only for its beautiful scenery and for its spirit, but also for its sauna. Now, when we come here, everybody can appreciate the scenery and feel the spirit and the hospitality right away. But the sauna remains a mystery to many of you who come here, and to some it's a deep, dark mystery, and it looks more like a torture chamber, a horror chamber. And if they don't know much about it and go in there, well, it feels like a torture chamber, too. And Pastor Hinderle himself appreciates it very much, I know, and he goes there every night late and stays late. But he hasn't been willing to pierce the mystery and to explain this. This has remained sort of an esoteric place of initiation for the elect. So I thought I would do my best to tell you what the sauna is, if I can. I'm not sure. I'm not finished, for one thing, but... I come from the Baltic countries, and we had sauna too. It went by another name, but it was much the same thing. I come from Latvia, and we certainly had sauna. So what is the sauna? It's not a torture chamber, and it's not a steam bath. It's a dry heat bath, and it is a place to get clean, but not only in body, also in spirit. It is more than just a bath.
Now, let's look a little bit at the history of the sauna, so we can appreciate it better as we have it today.
The steam bath, which the sauna is definitely not, has a long history and is very well known. The Romans had public steam baths that could take care of tens of thousands of people. Now, the biggest one was the bath of Caracalla. One of the recent Life magazine issues had a story on the Roman bath. You maybe read it, you remember. They ran a series on Rome, on the Romans. These were huge public baths available to everybody for a little fee, and they used mainly steam. Now there's the Turkish baths that are well known, not only in Turkey, and they're also steam baths. And then there's the Japanese steam bath. It has so much steam, when you go in there, you don't see a thing. It's just vapors. Now, the sauna is none of these. The history of the sauna is probably older than all these steam baths, including the Roman ones, but it's lost in the mists of history because the sauna is a Finno-Ugric invention. The Finno-Ugric peoples lived all over Siberia, over cold country, and you can see that they could use the hot sauna there. And they were scattered all over Siberia, also over European Russia. There are Finno-Ugric peoples that speak Finno-Ugric languages, which are all interrelated. And the peoples are still there and still speak the languages. The only three peoples of the Finno-Ugric stock that have entered the light of history and whom we know, at least better than the other smaller tribes, are the Finns, the Estonians, and the Hungarians. Those three are the Finno-Ugric peoples that are better known and are bigger nations. Now the Finns have, I think it's over 5 million now, the Estonians have over 1 million people, and the Hungarians are 7 to 8 million people. And so the sauna is most likely a Finno-Ugric invention, and it comes from the colder parts of what is now the Soviet Union, because the peoples used to live there. The Russian-speaking peoples occupied only a small part of what is now the Soviet Union. So there are many references to the sauna in the Finnish epic Kalevala. The sauna there is a place not only of bathing, but of healing. Its early function was as a place to get well. If somebody had a sickness, he went to sauna, and their spells were set over it, and it healed whatever was the matter. The finish here at Weinemann goes to sauna. It's described in Kalevala at length when he has an injured knee, and spells are said over the knee, and it's healed in the sauna. So the sauna in the earliest times was a place not only to get clean but to get healed as well. Now in my own home country in Latvia and in my husband's home country Estonia, the sauna was very prevalent. Every farm had a sauna, sat by itself off from the other farm buildings, and it was used very much. In Latvian folklore, we have an extensive folklore, folk songs. The sauna is mentioned very often. It is mentioned as a place where it's a place set apart from the other farm activities and buildings, a place where you go, of course, to bathe, but also where you go if you're sick, and where the women went to have their babies. Now, this sounds strange, but it was the cleanest place in the farm. The sauna is, of course, very clean because the heat would make it quite antiseptic. And it's also a holy place. It was kept as a holy place. It was under the protection of a goddess who also protected the women in childbirth who went there. So it was kept as a clean and holy place. It was, in other words, a hospital, and it was a maternity ward, and it old people sometimes would go there. They were sick, they would go there to die because it was a holy place. This was, of course, before we had the Christian religion, and even afterwards, the sauna remained, in a way, a holy place. Now, the sauna has been known to exist only also among the American Indians, the North American Indians. It's used where it's cold, in colder countries, colder parts, not in the South American, among the South American Indians, and I don't think among the Indians in the southern part of the United States. It's known that the Indians of North America had a sauna. It was, if we have dugout canoes, we can say it was a dugout sauna. It was in the ground. You went down and into it. And so this points to a connection that there had been a land connection, perhaps between Siberia and Alaska, that the use of the sauna has spread between the two continents over land connection. So it's existed in this country long before it became a status symbol, which it's rapidly becoming now. The Indians had it. Now the earliest Finnish sauna also is a dugout sauna, so to say. It's in the ground. You go down into, if you don't see anything from the top, the entrance is like into a cave. And there are saunas like that still in use. Now, I have seen one myself, but it wasn't there anymore. It was just a big black hole, and this, they showed us, this was the earth sauna, but they had a new sauna now above ground, so they didn't use that. But the hole was still there. So it's, and in many places, they still use that, and they think that this is the best sauna, those who still use. Why, the sauna above ground just kept compared to the sauna underground. And I'm sure it keeps the heat in better. The next step was then to bring the sauna above ground, to build a log cabin-like structure and have the sauna there. Now, it hasn't changed very much over the centuries because the sauna still is a wood structure, often a log structure, and it should be a wood, at least on the inside. Sometimes it's made of stone on the outside. Now, the first sauna, certainly the underground sauna, had no chimney and no windows. It was dark inside, and the smoke went out through the door only. So you can imagine how black and smoky it got inside. The walls, I've been in a sauna that has no chimney and no windows to speak of. And they call this a smoke sauna, sour sauna in Finnish. And then, of course, it's all black. But the connoisseurs think that this is the best kind of sauna because the heat is more mellow if the walls are all blackened by smoke. It really was a wonderful sauna that we took in this black sauna. And it isn't dirty. The blackness from smoke, it's not dirty. It's really very antiseptic because, you know, smoke can cure meat and hams. Not only hams, it cures people too. And it is a very clean place, actually, because it's smoke clean. This earliest sauna, and some people hang on to this, is either the underground earth sauna or the smoke sauna with no chimney at all. Now, the modern sauna has a chimney and is not black inside. The sauna should always be built, if possible, near a lake or a river or another body of water. This is not only to be able to draw water for the bathing, but this is the other function of the sauna, to relax you, so that you, after taking the sauna, after cleaning your body, you could sit there and watch the water, and this would do good to your soul too, because the function of the sauna is twofold always. It's to clean the body and to heal your soul, to heal the whole man. So sitting out and on the lake after the sauna and looking over the lake and just relaxing and meditating is an important part of the sauna. So if possible at all, they build it near water. If not, of course, here in Holden we can come out and look at the beautiful mountains, which would do much the same thing. Now, how is the sauna then built? What is necessary for a sauna? Nowadays, you just write in and order a prefab sauna and put it up, and here you have it. And it puts you up in a certain class. But it can be done following instructions. There are many instructions books now coming out on how to build a sauna and what you need, and you can do it yourself. Now, just to shortly put it in a few words, you need 3 rooms, definitely, and 2 are optional. You need an anteroom or a wind catcher, especially if you're going to use it in the winter. You don't want to get right into the dressing room and let the cold air in. So you need an anteroom. And then you need a dressing room where you would change your clothes, and that usually has benches around the walls so you can lie down after the sauna. Some people would rather lie down right away in the dressing room and take a 10-minute rest before they go out and go home. And that dressing room has a table too, for the water or the other lemonade or drinks to sit on. And you then, after sauna, sit down and enjoy a cool glass of something to drink. It has to be very clean and very neat and very lovely in the sauna, in all the rooms. Now, the sauna proper should be paneled in wood. Now the sauna as we have here is very good inside, it's very authentic. Should be paneled in wood, in pine or fir. This will add a nice smell to it, the resin in the pine. When you heat it, it smells very nicely. And the sauna should have a clean pine smell. It should have only 3 smells. The clean pine smell of the walls, and then the smell of the birch whisks, which we don't have here up at this altitude. The birch whisks, which you use to whisk yourself while you're bathing to increase your circulation. So that's the other smell of the sauna in Finland and also in my home country, is the birch smell, the smell of birch leaves. In the winter you have dried birch whisks, you use those, you soak them up and then they smell like fresh. And then the third smell would be the smell that comes from the stones. The sauna definitely needs stones on the stove, and then when you throw a little water, then that gives of a certain smell. So the sauna should be always paneled in pine, and it should have an oven that has different variations of it, but it should have these round field stones on top of it. They're usually granite. And of course, much research needs to be done on the sauna, but it is thought that the stones, when very hot, give off radioactivity. And this adds to the curing powers of the sauna, especially if you throw a little water later on the stones. It gives up off radioactivity, which is very beneficial to you. And the heat in the sauna is dry. When you go in there, you should not really take a shower. You should go in there as you are, because any moisture that you bring in will take away from the effect and the enjoyment of the sauna. You go in there dry and you sit on one of the levels. Now the sauna, as it has here, should have three levels. One is for the enduring, that's the first. The second is for the brave, and the third one, the top one, is for the daring. First you go in and sit on the first level and endure for a while, and then if you get braver, you go up. And you go in there and you sit in this dry heat. You sit hunched up like this, so your head is not very high up, because the head, of course, minds the heat most. And you sit for 20 to 30 minutes in the dry heat, and you perspire, of course. You're just doing your own juice. And you don't add any water at all, because there is no steam. There should be no steam at first. Now, of course, if many people go in and out, this isn't as perfect, but there shouldn't be any steam at all. You just do. And this, of course, then you can tell how much you perspire, you see. If you go into a steam bath, you don't know, is it condensation that settles on your skin, or is it perspiration? Most likely condensation. You think, oh, I'm all sweaty, and you're not, because it takes certainly 20 minutes to get the perspiration out. So you sit there as long as you can stand, and as high up as you can stand it. And when you can't stand it anymore, why, then you go out and shower. Now, while sitting there, it's a good idea to cover your hair for the ladies, because the hair doesn't like so much heat. Cover it, and for the men, to wet it so you get a little coolness on your head, or to put a cool rag dipped in cold water over your forehead or over the top of your head. And to put something cold, maybe a rag, on your heart, too, if you mind the heat. Now, the sauna, let's see, about... you can use and enjoy a sauna unless you have a severe heart condition. Otherwise, if you're careful, it won't hurt you. You have to be careful at first, of course. You can't go on the top level and sit there for half an hour for the first time. You have to sort of build up your own rhythm and see how it affects you. You have to be a little careful at first. Now, then, when you've sat and stewed there for as long as you can possibly stand it, you go out, and you don't by any means jump into the cold dip or the cold lake anyway, right away. You take your time, and here you should take maybe a lukewarm shower and then wash off with soap and water, wash all the perspiration off, and then you can dip and jump into the cold dip. Or else you can go back and sit more and repeat the whole procedure, maybe make it a little shorter. And then you go up and go out, and then you can shower off and go into the cool dip. Anyway, the motion between the hot and the cold should be slow. I must say that against the boys. I see them rush out and jump into the cold. This is not good for your heart, because while you're in there, you're getting your body temperature up. It's like you're producing an artificial fever, which is very beneficial because it burns out all kinds of impurities, like the body when it's sick, has a fever, produces a fever to get rid of whatever's making it sick. Now, you do that in the sauna artificially. So you are like in a fever, and you go out there. You should take 5 minutes or 4 minutes between the extreme hot and the extreme cold. So in Finland, that's why the sauna is on the lake, but not immediately on the lake. So you have a little walk from the sauna to the lake. During this walk, you cool off a little. But we mustn't forget that we need a cold dip, because we're getting our body temperature up high, we're getting our blood pressure circulation up, and if we don't take a cold dip, we don't cool off, and we're going to have a headache and a very bad feeling all afterwards, all evening or all night. So the cold and the hot, the interrelation of the two is what really makes the sauna so beneficial. Now, just how it works, the research hasn't been done enough to tell us just how it works, but we know that this hot and cold variation stimulates the skin, of course. You can tell that, you come out, you're red. And it stimulates the inner organs, stimulates the liver, the kidneys, and it really is good if you do it for a longer while. Over a month, you'll notice your complexion will improve. And they say, of course, in Finland, they claim that it cures everything except death. You know, you go in there, you have a cold, you go to sauna, you have a stomach upset, you go to sauna, you come out, you're cured. And especially it cures arthritis and rheumatism. So, unless you have a very sick heart, or you have to be careful with your heart, it certainly, if you take it right, and if you don't overdo it, it will be very good for you. Now, there should be, while you're in the sauna, you should be quiet, and you should be relaxed. If you go in there for 10 minutes, it won't help. The main thing is that you go in there, and you are very relaxed, you sit down, you let go of your cares, you let go of your unpleasant thoughts, and you take your time. Now, in Finland, they allow 1 hour for a sauna. If they have time for families, and each family gets 1 hour. And that's just barely enough, because if you use up to half an hour for the first sitting and sweating, why then 1 hour is hardly enough. I like to take 2 hours and then go out into the lake about 4 times, come back. So hurry is the worst enemy of the sauna, and if you have only half an hour, well, don't try it, because this is just destroying the effect of the sauna. Now, of course, in Finland, the people used to, at least, and they still do on farms, go into the sauna together, the sexes go together, and they go naked. Now, you'd think this is shocking, but it isn't, because the sauna is still a holy place, and you just don't have any sinful thoughts when you're in the sauna. Besides that, it's dark in there. It's very good to have a blue bulb instead of much light. You go by candlelight, really. So there's nothing offensive about the sexes going together and without any clothes on. To have a sauna without clothes on is much different than having your bathing suit on anyway. So this is a place where you go in and you leave all your complexes and your bad thoughts outside, and you try to get as clean as you can, not only in body but also in mind. So we talk of togetherness. Well, that is real togetherness, to go to the sauna. And of course, the families always go together. They allow, now for instance, on the farm, the several families, they'll allow each family their time for going. And, of course, the sauna is a habit. One sauna will not do much to you except shock you, and you can say you've been to sauna. You have to do it over a period of time to really get the benefits of it. So, of course, in our countries, it was a steady habit. You went once a week or more. If you worked hard on the fields, you went every night. And, of course, the athletes go after every heavy workout, because it relaxes the muscles and relaxes tension, and you feel like you hadn't worked hard, or you hadn't hiked, or you hadn't been doing lots of sports. So it is a habit, and you just don't stay away from it once you've started. Now, in Finland, in the cities, they're building saunas into each apartment building. In the basement, there'll be a public sauna, and each family will probably have their time allotted when they go there. And not only Saturdays, I suppose at least twice a week, it'll be heated so you can have your sauna. They just cannot conceive of life without sauna, you see. And the Finnish athletes, whenever they go to Olympic Games, they have to have their sauna. We were told story about the 1936 Olympics. Nobody knew about the sauna, so nowadays at each competition there is a sauna put up as a matter of course, for all the athletes like to have it. But then the Finns were the only ones who insisted, so a sauna was built for them. This was in Berlin. A sauna was built for them, but now there was a question how to get the Birchwisks there, because without the Birchwisks you don't really get as pliable. You have to lift yourself, and then you get your muscles all pliable. So then a couple of wagon loads of Birchwisks had to be gotten from Finland to Berlin, and the customs wouldn't accept them, because what is this stuff? So some smart Finn got the idea to say, this is elephant food. And so it got across the border as elephant food. And so if you can get a hold of birches, make a birch whisk and whisk yourself. They not only increase your circulation, they only heal. The birch has lots of healing powers in its leaves. So the Finns, with their real determination to have a sauna and to have their birch whisks, have become world famous with the sauna, although they're not the only ones who have it. In fact, there is a saying about Finland that most everybody knows. Why, what's Finland? It's Nurmi Sauna Sibelius. Nurmi was the great athlete, the great runner who won the Olympics in long distance running. And of course you know how he did it, by going to the sauna. And Sibelius, of course, is a great composer and expresses the soul of Finland, and the sauna, of course, is responsible for them both. So we must leave it to the Finns that they can do it. And another word that describes well what it is, this quality that the sauna produces, is sisu. It means endurance, it means hardiness, and the Finns certainly demonstrated that in the Winter War of 1939, when about 4 or 5 million of Finns held off 200 million of Russians, or at least that's the proportion of the two nations. And they were not defeated by the Russians. So you can see what the sauna can do to a people. Now, summing up once more, the sauna then is a dry heat bath. You go in there and you sit, and then you take your plunge, and then you take your shower, and then after you come back the second time to sit, then you throw a little water on these hot stones. Sometimes the stones get really red hot, and this is called the spirit. The vapors that come from it, literally in Finnish, or in our language, it's called the spirit. It's sort of the vapors that come from those hot stones. This is sort of the mystical high point of the sauna, when you throw a little water and there's a little vapor that rises up. You duck your head then, because this is hot steam. And for a while then the sauna has moisture, steam, damp. But this evaporates soon too, because the walls are so hot, the wooden walls absorb this. So all the moisture there is temporary. And this is again the uniqueness of the sauna, that it alternates dry heat and this temporary humidity. Besides that, it's good if you're studying the sauna to lie on these levels. Many saunas have, or really should, all should have, a bar across where you put your feet. And then you sit and put your feet higher than your head, or you lie and you put your feet higher, because your head is quite sensitive to this heat. The blood pressure will give you a headache if it's very hot, but your feet can stand more, so it's good to lie down. It's also good to lie down once you come out of the sauna, to relax. Now, when you come out of the sauna, you look much like a cooked lobster. You're not in the best shape to do much except sit down and have some food and some coffee. You will look best, this is for the ladies, you will look best about 2 hours after the sauna. Then you'll look like a shrimp instead of a lobster. And you will really be in your best look. So take a sauna early if you're going out. Don't take it the last minute. And when you go to the sauna, don't go on a completely empty stomach, nor ever on a full stomach. This will be ruinous. Your stomach you should go 2 to 3 hours after your last meal. Not earlier than 2 and not much later than 3, because then you'll be too hungry to enjoy it. Now, the meal after the sauna is, of course, a big tradition in Finland, and when you come out the sauna, you don't feel like going to bed, ever. I thought a person might be exhausted, but you're not. Your circulation is up, and you're feeling very much sociable. You like to sit down and talk with people, and you're feeling so good. Now, this is the main thing. A sauna should make you feel good. It should make you feel just like you own the world. You've left all your cares, all your burdens in there. Your body is clean and free, and your mind should be free too. If you have a sauna on the lake, like we were privileged to for 4 summers in Finland to have a good sauna on the lake, then after each perspiration period, you go out and swim in the lake, and each time you feel lighter. You just feel so light, you don't even have to move your legs and arms, you just float. And after 4th time, you just feel you have no body at all. You just float around in the lake, you're just so light. And this feeling of lightness and of relaxation should be what you get from the sauna. If you don't have it the first time, well, you have to work on it. You have to develop your own rhythm, know how much heat you can take and how many cold dips you need to get yourself back to normal. When you go out, you shouldn't feel either cold and shivering, like some of the boys must have because they were in the dip too long. You shouldn't feel cold and shivery, and you shouldn't feel hot. You should feel just about normal. And on this, you have to work. It's different for each person. So therefore, there shouldn't ever be any competition in the sauna. Who can stay longer? This is silly because it varies with each person. It depends on your heart and on your blood pressure and many things. So you should entirely disregard what the other person is doing in there. You should just go by your own feelings. Of course, you should stay in there as long as you possibly can the first time. So after the sauna, you should feel just great. And then you come home and you sit down and have some coffee. And in Finland, they have special sauna sausages and special baking. And you sit down there and drink your coffee and drink your lemonade and have a good relaxing evening. As long as the Finns believe in the sauna so much, and it's a way of life for them, why, it's the best thing in life for them, actually, so they like to share it with people. When you go to Finland, you'll be invited not to a people's home, but mainly to a people's sauna. This is their sauna hospitality. You get invited to the sauna. You arrive there, and either the host or the hostess will go to the sauna with you, or else they'll send you alone. And they'll have it all prepared very wonderfully, the special sauna towels, and the sauna will be just right. It'll be hot, but mellow, and not harsh. Now, the Finns talk about the heat quality of the sauna, as the French talk about wine. It has to have a certain quality. It can't be harsh, or overheated, or rash. It has to be mellow, it has to be sweet. So a good sauna should be started heated about 6 to 4 hours before use, and then no more wood added, actually. You cannot do that here. You have to keep it hot for so many hours. But it should just sit there and get more mellow all the while. And in a really good sauna, you can even go in the next morning and have a sauna. It will still be that hot.
We do that in ours, too.
Can you really?
Yeah, I don't have.
Well, and it's even better then. Yes. Well, then it really mellows. So it's the quality of the sauna is much discussed, and the connoisseurs know just how to make it right for you, and especially if you're invited to a sauna, you can be sure that it will be right. And then the hostess will have the birch whisks in warm water, and they'll be soft and pliable for you to whisk yourself. And of course, when you go to sauna, the etiquette demands that you rub the other person's back and whisk him. Now, that's a good outlet for overt hostility. You can whisk a little harder than necessary and rub a little harder than necessary. Of course, you should be asked to do that. You can't just get on your You should be asked to rub the back, but you can never refuse this or say, oh, I'm just so hot, I couldn't do it. This is part of the sauna etiquette, and you get a wonderful sauna prepared for you if you're invited to one, and you have a drink sitting out there when you're too hot. They have two kinds of drinks, the sima and the kalya. One is made of lemons and raisins, the other of dark rye bread that's soaked up, and this is very good, cool, like a homemade pop, but it's better. And you drink that, you go out in the lake, go back, and you do this as long as you want, and then when you're through, then the coffee's ready, and the hostess is there. And in the good old days, there had to be 12 different kinds of cake. Now they content with 7. And you're very hungry after a sauna, so you sit down, you have to try all the baking, home baking that's on the table, and the hostess will sit there, and if you don't take of each, she'll say, well, isn't it good? And so you have to do it. So the sauna is really a way of life, and if you go to Finland, you'll find that out. Now, my first Finnish sauna was a lady sauna. Nobody wore any clothes, but there were no men, so I'm glad of that. But before I went in, I was a little worried. It was full of Finnish women, and I didn't speak Finnish then yet. I have had to learn in the meantime, because you just can't get on in Finland if you don't. Well, I was a little worried, and there was a lady who spoke some Swedish, and so I said, well, I don't speak in Finnish. How am I going to get on with these women in the hot sauna? And she said, well, don't worry. Once you get in there, you will understand everything. And I did. I went in there, and suddenly everything, we were happy together, and I understood what they were saying. It has a magical effect on you, the sauna does. And so you have to go in there trusting. You have to go in there and submit to it, and it will come to you. You just can't rush in there and rush out. You have to submit to this. The heat just overpowers you, and you sit there, but if you submit and let go, why, the sauna will do wonders to you. And
One question there. In Finland, do they say God's peace, like they do over here in America all day? But that phrase from Ruah, the end of it, they always meet each other that in America. You come in and as you leave the sauna.
Well, that's true, and that's very appropriate, because peace is what you look for in the sauna, really. It's not only a bath. You go in there for your peace. Now, it's like a weekly confession. You go in there, and you don't talk much. You just sit there, and yet you get free of your cares. And these people look forward to that. They look forward to a Saturday night sauna when they get rid of all the burdens of the week. I wonder what we do in this country to get rid of our burdens.
Watch TV.
Cocktail party. Well, that isn't it. You just got to go in there and sit for an hour and minister to your body, and that in turn will minister to your soul and give you the peace of mind. So the sauna is really very appropriate to the theme, this year's Holden theme, that sauna ministers to the whole man. By ministering to the body and cleansing the body, it relaxes the whole man, and it benefits the soul. And so, by going in there and naked and leaving all our complexes and cares outside, we get to be whole again. In a way, it puts you together again, and you find your wholeness as a human being again. You find your dignity again. And you come out, and you can start anew. And this is important in life, to be able to start anew, not to drag your burdens. Of course, we know that. We go to church on Sunday, and we should start anew and afresh. And so the sauna puts you together as a whole man, body and soul, and you can really then face the Sunday as a clean, whole person. So all I can say now is let's all go to the sauna.